Okay. Today is Wednesday, the 5th of March, 28th day of Adar 1. This is the Chumash, women's Chumash class. We're beginning Parshat Ki Tavo.
Okay, Rabotai. Rabotai. Okay. Okay. So what did you bring? Where's the tshulin? We said it's supposed to be a tshulin for the kiddush. Finish Ki Tavo. Okay, Rabotai. We're going to start Parshat Ki Tavo. We finished Ki Tavo yesterday, last week. This particular parsha does not contain many mitzvot. It begins with two or three separate mitzvot, and then the Torah will switch our attention to Am Yisrael as they are about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and the bracha of Har Gerizim and Klala of Har Eibal will be recorded, as well as the commandment to write certain things of the Torah on several stones. So we'll see this foreshadowing of events that will actually unfold after Moshe passes away with Yehoshua, and that's captured in this particular parsha. But the Torah begins this parsha with the presentation of two mitzvot, the mitzvah of Bikurim, which has two separate mitzvot in it, and the mitzvah of Vidui Ma'aser, and that'll take us until Shlishi of this particular parsha. So the Torah states, V'haya ki tavo el ha'aretz, asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha nachala, v'rishta v'yashavta ba. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to the land, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give to you as an inheritance, and you will conquer it and dwell in it. V'lokachta merishit kol pri ha'adama, asher tavi me'artzecha, you shall take from all of the fruits of the land which God will give you from the land, asher asher mekech neiken lach, v'tzamta batana, you'll place them in a basket, v'halachta el ha'makom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha l'shaken shemosham, you will bring this basket to the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen to reside, the Mikdash, uvata el hakohen ashiyeh bayamim ahein, ve'amarta elav, higadati ayom Hashem elokechi kibati el haaretz, asher nishba Hashem lavoteinu latet lanu. I am testifying today that I thank you for having brought me to the land which God had promised to give to our forefathers. V'lakach hakohen atena miyadecha, the kohen shall take the basket from your hand, place it in front of the mizbeach, and then, beginning with pasuk hey, va'anita v'amarta, is the second half of the mitzvah, which is called mikra bikurim, the formal text that has to be read. It's incorporated into our Haggadah, but the formal text that has to be read. But we will focus on the first mitzvah, the first part of it, which is the mitzvah hava'at bikurim, simply the bringing of bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash, and this represents one of the obligations to furnish unto a Kohen to bring the first of one's fruits to the Mikdash. So let's take a look at Rashi. And Rashi fills in several critical halachic issues concerning the mitzvah Bikurim. V'haya ki tavo v'rishta v'yashavta ba. Magid, this teaches us, shelo nitchayvu bebikurim ad shekivshu et ha'aretz v'chilkuha. They are not obligated to observe the mitzvah of Bikurim until the conquest of Eretz Yisrael takes place and the division, the settlement. That's what's called in halachic jargon, Sheva Shekivshu v'Sheva Shechilku. The 7 years during which Yehoshua engaged in conquest and the subsequent 7 years during which the land was divided up. So this particular mitzvah It is a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz, but it does not begin until after Yerusha v'yeshiva. This is not true with all mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz. Some began immediately as you walked into Eretz Yisrael. The first day you walk in, one is already obligated. But this particular mitzvah requires Yerusha and Yeshiva. As to why, we'll see. Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll have a good explanation, or we may not have any explanation. However, the Ibn Ezra points out that the reason why this is stipulated here, right after the Amalek presentation, is based on the fact that at the last pasuk of Parshat Ki Tetzeh, the Torah writes, "V'haya behaniach Hashem Elokecha lecha mikol oyvecha misaviv." There will come a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow you to rest from all of your enemies who surround you, and what will you then do? Timche et zechar Amalek mitachat Hashemayim. That is going to be well above and beyond the 14 years. Sheva Shekivshu and Sheva Shechilku does not necessarily mean that you have obtained absolute freedom and total rest from all of the nations who might be surrounding you. Does not mean, and in fact, we know that the conquest of Eretz Yisrael until the building of the Mikdash took many, many years thereafter. So Ibn Ezra claims that instead of highlighting this particular pasuk as a later time for this mitzvah, because I could have thought, as other mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, that I begin that mitzvah when? As soon as you enter into the land. I'll give you an example of a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz, or at least it was triggered by arrival in Eretz Yisrael, and you didn't wait until Sheva Shekivshu, Sheva Shechilku. The halacha of eating, the prohibition against eating chadash, new grain that is harvested in Eretz Yisrael, and happens to be applied in Chutz La'aretz too, chadash. But it was triggered, it didn't start until we entered Eretz Yisrael. Now whenever you plant grain, you are not permitted to eat any grain harvested between Rosh Hashanah and Tol Pesach until the Korban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, the Isur of Chadash. So that began immediately. So the way Rashi presents the date is, don't think that this begins immediately, like some other mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, but this you have to wait until Sheva Shekivshu v'Sheva Shechilku. Ibn Ezra places the date or the timing that it's not as late as you might have thought. That since the pasuk before, immediately precede, says, V'haya behaniach Hashem Elokecha misaviv, mikol oyvecha misaviv. So I could have thought that when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mandate that we observe at least this mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz, perhaps even most mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz. Now when do you observe it? When you finally accomplish the objective of v'haniach Hashem Elokecha mikol oyvecha misaviv, says the Torah, no. For at least this mitzvah of Bikurim, you don't have to wait until, or you should not wait until you gain total peace and control. What do? As soon as it's Sheva Shekivshu, as soon as you conquer, as soon as you divide up the land, you're automatically chayav to observe Bikurim. Automatically obligated. So there are two ways to look at the timing as to when this particular mitzvah happens to be triggered. There is a most puzzling statement of Chazal. Rashi here does not quote it, but there is a most quoted many other places, puzzling, that that Bizechut Bikurim Nichnasu La'aretz Bizechut Bikurim Nichnasu La'aretz. Because of the compliance with the mitzvah of Bikurim, we have gained entry into the land. It's quoted in Medrash Rabbah right here, and it's quoted in a variety of other passages. Why do I say that's such a difficult midrashic statement? That you're not allowed to, you're not obligated. How can a mitzvah which doesn't begin until 14 years after the conquest begins be the sibah for what? For entering into the land? It's a very difficult concept. Perhaps we'll interpret it as we see a couple of more psukim in the text. But just beware of the fact that the Midrash makes that statement, Shebizichut bikurim nichnesu la'aretz. And the Midrash's comment is on what phrase in the Pasuk, what phrase in the Pasuk Aleph do you think they say? What do you think, what Pasuk do you think would launch such a statement in the Midrash? What Pasuk? What? No. The Pasuk that we read. We didn't read Arami Avid yet. What Pasuk that we read? What do you... If you just, I'll give you a hint, it's in the first pasuk. No. Think about how a midrash would react, make such a comment. Zahaya ti tavo el haaretz. It will come when you will enter the land, says the midrash. You know what you can do to what? To hasten, to trigger, to make sure that you will come into the land, observe the mitzvah of bikurim. That's the comment of the Midrash on this particular pasuk. And that's why it's so difficult, as you pointed out. How can this mitzvah serve as the trigger if you don't observe the mitzvah until you're in already? That's why it's so difficult. But that's where the Midrash makes its comment. Yes?
Because it shows that you are directing your whole destiny towards gaining this the land and being able to fulfill the mitzvah properly by doing...
Good. You're on to something. We'll get to it. It's just a couple of psukim and it'll emerge. It's a very good point. Very good. Yes.
I don't understand how there's enough time to develop bikurim. I mean, you have 14 years. But first you have to divide it with the tribe, divide the land.
Yeah, but people, as soon as they conquered a particular piece of territory and occupied it, I imagine the planting would begin. And it does not require planting.
It could be something over.
It could be already there. There was an apple tree there already. I take it over. It's now mine. This is not like where you have to plant the tree, wait 3 years because of Arla. As long as it's in my possession and I harvest, I take the fruits. I don't have to plant the tree in order to be chayav mikurim. Yes.
How many fruits do you have to bring?
We'll see. We shall see. In that respect, it'll be identified as truma. Let's continue just to see how Rashi attacks it. Says Rashi, in Pasuk Bet, V'lakachta mei reishit kol pri ha'adama. It doesn't say the first. Otherwise, Rashi wouldn't be saying anything. What does it say? Mei reishit, from the first. Very funny expression. Should have said V'lakachta Reshit pri ha'adama. Take the fruit, the first fruits. And then you will ask me, how many first fruits? That would be appropriate. But all we have to do is say, v'lakachta reshit. So, but it says, mei reshit. So Rashi now offers several interpretations as to what this means. Rashi says, drash v'lo kol reshit. This means that you only take from some of the first fruits, but not all of the first fruits. You don't have to bring apples, oranges, grapefruits. You don't have to bring them as bikurim. Only some of the fruits of the first fruits. Which ones? She'ein kol ha'peirot chayavin bebikurim. Not all fruits are subject to the mitzvah bikurim. Ela shivat haminim bilvad. Only the seven minim shenishtabcha behen eretz Yisrael. How do I know this? Says Rashi. Ne'emar kan. It is written here, eretz. Ne'emar kan eretz. Where does it say the word eretz in our pasuk, in our parsha? What? Ha'aretz. Exactly. V'ne'emar lehalan, and it's stated previously in Parshas Ekev, Eretz, Chita, Se'ora, Zeshem, and Advash, in Parshat Ekev, and Parakeh, it enumerated the Shivat HaMeinim following the word Eretz. Therefore, not Rashi's, this is the Sifri, which claims that halachically one is obligated to take Bikurim only from Peirot Shinishtavcha Behen Eretz Yisrael. Afkan Shevach Eretz Yisrael Shehem Shiva Haminim. You're only obligated to bring Bikurim from the Shiva Haminim. Now Rashi is going to be troubled with two of the Minim. Two of the descriptions. If you go to Perek Chet of Sefer Dvarim for a second, Perek Chet of Sefer Dvarim, the beginning of Parshat Ekev. That is correct. That's where the pasuk is. That's the one that Rashi is quoting. It's Perek Chet, pasuk Chet. Eretz Chita Usa'ora V'Gefen. Uteina v'rimon, eretz zeit shemen udvash. Please translate the phrase eretz zeit shemen udvash. A land of olive oil and honey. Rashi now is going to be confronted with the issue, knowing the halacha that bikurim is never brought as a liquid. Never brought as a liquid.
Zeit shemen is olive that you make oil from.
That's what Rashi's going to interpret. The Rashi's going to interpret. But it really means shemen which comes from a zayit.
No, because
and I'll show you halachically why Rashi is reacting to this. Because under ordinary circumstances, whenever the word zayit is used in the context of psukim and mitzvot hatliyot baret, it means specifically the oil. Not the fruit itself. I'll give it to you two examples in a second. So here says Rashi, Zayit Shemen, what does it mean? Zayit Aguri. Shishamno Agur Bitocho. It means an olive which has the oil contained in it. But what do you give as Bikurim? Not the Shemen. What do you give? You give the oil. You just mean give the olive. You give the olive. And udvash, dvash is not bee honey. What is dvash? Dvash tamarim, honey from a date. And the dates, you give the dates as bikurim. Now, I know that Rashi is just echoing the Midrash Halakha. But here, there is an enormous chidush which Rashi communicates to us. And those of you who remember the first Mishnah in 6th Perek of Brachot, remember what we established. And I'll illustrate this with a very simple reading of a Mishnah. It should trigger your mind, but you should know this, because in this, Gorglad Express will blow people away with this. They don't know this. The Mishnah, first Mishnah in the 6th Perek of Brachot. Ketzad mevarchin al ha-peirot. How do you make a bracha on peirot? What is the Mishnah answer? Al peirot ha-ilan omer barei pri ha-etz. He's over here, Adina. He's over there. Was I over there?
He was.
Might be upstairs. Al peirot ha-ilan hu omer barei pri ha-etz. Very nice. Everybody understands that. On a fruit of the tree, you make a barei pri ha-etz. Chutz min hayayin. She'al hayayin hu omer barei pri hagefen. Tell me what's wrong with this Mishnah. Tell me what's wrong with the exception recorded in the rule. What? Of course
not. It's not a tree.
No, that's a different question. A better question. No, that's our question. A better question. It's a liquid. If the Mishnah said as follows, on all fruit juices you say shahakol, now there is an exception that on the juice of the vine you say barifi agethet. We're not talking about fruit juices. It says, al peirot ha'ilan hu omer barei pri ha'etz. So that would be saying that every tablecloth in this shul is white except for that chair. That's what you're saying. Every tablecloth is white except for that chair. And you look at it like you're retarded. Say, well, what are you talking about this way? What's the exception of that chair got to do with this tablecloth? What does wine have to do with fruit of the tree? The answer is that there are two fruits which are the exceptions to the rule. By all fruits, the ikar of the fruit is the pulp. The juice is considered secondary. Therefore, on all fruit juices, as it is a secondary use of the item, you say shakol mi'evid varam. With wine and olives, the primary use of the grape, it's talking about a grapevine, not the grapes that you buy here in your food store. With the grapevine, the ikar is the juice. The ikar of the zayit is its shemen. So in theory, what should be the bracha on yayin if that's the ikar? Borei pri ha'etz. You should make a borei pri ha'etz on wine. Because that is the essence, the ikar of what? Of the fruit. So now the Mishnah says, but because yayin is such an exalted fruit, it has merited its own bracha. So therefore the Mishnah says very well, al pri ha'etz, on all fruits, you say borei pri ha'etz. Well, what's the main part of an apple? The pulp. So on apple you say borei pri ha'etz. What's the main part of an orange? Borei pri ha'etz, on the orange. Any of the subcategories, what do? You say a shakol mi'evid. What happens to be the main part of the wine grape? The wine. So you should say borei pri ha'etz on wine. But because wine is such a special fruit, what happens? It's been elevated to borei pri ha'gefen. But the halacha always looks at it in these two things. The wine and the grape as halachic. When you give truma to a kohen, you do not give kohen, you don't give him olives. You don't give him wine grapes. You have to press the olives, you have to press the grapes, and then you give the kohen wine or oil. When you have apples, you now have to give him apple juice. What do you have to give a kohen? Apples. You have to give him the primary fruit. So I could have assumed, Rabotai, that the exact same thing would be true for what? For Zaytim also, by Bikurim. I could have assumed that the same halacha should apply for Bikurim. That just as by all other mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, we are not factoring in the Zayin, we factor in the Shemen, here is the same thing. Therefore Rashi says no. There is a special halacha, logic is no logic, there's a special halacha that Bikurim is not given in liquid form. So when it came to the grape, what expression did the Pasuk use in Parshat Ekev? What expression did the... No, when it came to the grape, what did it say? It said Gefen. It didn't say the Yayin. So Rashi didn't have to say anything. Because what does the Gefen mean itself? The fruits of the vine. You give the grapes. But in the Pasuk, by what? By the olive, it doesn't say v'zeitim. What does it say? V'zeitshemen. So I could have thought that the reason why the Torah is telling me the shemen, because the shemen is the most important part of that particular fruit. Therefore Rashi says no. There is a special halakha in relationship to Bikurim that it's never liquid, always the pulp itself. Hence, it means Zayt Shemen. What does it mean? It means the olive, which happens to have the oil concentrated in it. And when it says Zavash, it doesn't really mean Zavash. It means the date. It means the date. Why did the Torah not say it? So you ask the Rabbi Yishalom, why didn't he say it? Yes?
Are there olives that are not good for oil making?
There are, just as there are grapes that are not made for wine.
What bracha do you say on table grapes, so-called, which are never used for wine, which is just for eating?
Perfect, right.
Even though it's a vine and not a tree.
That's good. That's a different halacha. That vine halachically gets the bar of
grapes. So the grapes you would not bring as a grape.
What?
The table type of grapes you would not bring as a grape.
You would. But even wine grapes, you would bring wine grapes and not the wine. Even though for every other obligation that you're obligated to give, you don't give the wine grape, what do you give?
The wine.
Good.
No,
if there were regular grapes grown in Israel, in this case, you're asking me, are you obligated to bring Bikurim on regular grapes? The answer is no. Because here, Geffen means what type of grape?
Wine.
Wine grapes. Correct. Correct. Regular grapes, you don't give Bikurim. You give Truma, you give Maser. Yes.
The reason why it would be the actual fruit, because in Ahab it says Eretz in front of the one that says by Geffen and Eretz again by where it says Bikurim.
It's possible, because the Torah itself separated it.
Right. And it particularly uses the word Eretz, which would mean that which typically comes out.
Could very well be. That's a possibility. I'm not saying no.
Tend to put wine in a basket.
It would mean in a bottle. You bring it in the bottle, and then you bring the bottle. Yes.
I have a different question. When you're talking about Neir sheep,
yes.
Could you look as a parallel text in Bereshit when Cain and Hevel bring Mi Pri HaAdama and Mi Bekoros Tzono? Would it have any? Because it is the same kind of occurrence, bringing from the first and the best.
So, but in what respect do you want to darshan it?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's such an unusual word, mi-reshit, and it occurs in the same type of formulation
okay.
in that very verse.
It probably, I would say yes, to agree, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Reshit from the best that you offered.
That's another interpretation. But it could have said reshit. It didn't have to say may reshit. Rashi's point is on the men. May reshit.
And could it also mean, from amongst another. You don't have to get the actual first, but from among the first few that
Sorry, but that's you're talking about quantity. We will see later that mita oraita there is no.
I'm not talking quantity. No, I'm not.
Then what then?
I'm referring to, let's say, 10 blossoms in the first day, and so you don't know which particular one blossoms first.
You're saying,
10 blossoms from these
right.
10. I take one.
Here you don't. The Torah doesn't expect you to sit outside 24 hours a day and look which one came first. It means early in the season. You're allowed to bring Bikurim from Shavuos until Sukkot, and even till Hanukkah. But there will be no mikvah. We'll talk about that a little later. So it means early in the season. It doesn't necessarily mean the very first one. It doesn't necessarily mean the very first one. Yeah.
But the May does limit the quantity.
What?
The May does limit the quantity.
100%. No doubt.
Suppose the first one and you type
over there. That's the person that you notice. But if you don't notice which one it means the early ones, when you notice it, of course. Yes, Rashi himself says that in the next Rashi. The next Rashi. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Sforno sends us back in asking what is, it's a very unusual question. Because we have seen hundreds, not hundreds, but dozens of mitzvot that have already been recorded elsewhere in the Chumash, and the Torah repeats it here, in Sefer Dvarim. And I'm not going to remind you again for the 80th time of the machlokes between the Ramban and the Abarbanel, what the function of Sefer of Dvarim is. Here suddenly Sforno finds it necessary to tell us that in just, not this past week, but 2 weeks ago's Parsha, it said, Reshit Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha. It says it already in Parshat Kitisa, and it also says it in Mishpatim. Reshit Bikurei Admatcha the first of your bikurim, of your land, kavi beit Hashem alukecha. So why is the Torah repeating it? As he says, because there are some details that are not furnished there. Of course, that's no great chiddush, you know. I didn't need the sparno to tell me that. There are many, many mitzvot in Sefer Dvarim that are repeated based on the fact that in its original presentation, many of the rules, regulations, and guidelines were not stipulated. So I don't know what is bothering Sparno that he specifically has to refer us to Reshit Bikurei Admatcha and the repetition here. Why do you have to do that? But once he did, I'll ask you if you were listening a week ago to the Drasha on Shabbos. Anybody remember when we spoke about what's the connection between the first part of that Pasuk and the second part of the Pasuk? Of Lo Tuvashel Gidi Mahalei Vimo. Remember that? So I suggested that in ancient cultures, as part of the ritual, the fertility ritual, it was associated particularly with rice, what they used to do is take a goat and cook it in its mother's milk, and that was their way of saying thank you to God. And what the Torah is doing then is contrasting. When you say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do it my way, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reishit bikurei azmatcha tavi beit Hashem alokecha. But do not say thank you to God the way it was noticed, the way it was custom in the paganism. How do they do? They thank God by taking gedi and cooking it as much. Lo tivashel gedi b'chalei vimo. Substantiating the Rambam's cause, if you remember, that the connection that basa b'chalav has its roots and origin in Avodah Zarah. That's why the Torah prohibited it. That it has its roots and origin in Avodah Zarah, not necessarily, it's not really ma'achalot asurot. Yes?
The reason why in the other two cases the language is very different than here.
In which case?
Reishit Kriyat Matra is very different than the Reishit Kol Kriyat Matra.
I can't answer, I don't know. There obviously it's a truncated, it's done, you know, there's no detail. There's no background. When you get into it, just says, Reishit Kriyat Matra. That's it. There's no shorter way than to describe it. The first year fruits of your land. That's all. Nothing else to describe. It's just, you know, the shell, the bare shell of the mitzvah itself. Let's continue with Rashi, because I just want to finish Rashi before we explore others. Then Rashi says, second comment on May Reishit, Adam Yored Litoch Sadehu, Viroeh Te'ena Shebichra. A person, you know, walks into his field and notices a little figula that's ripe. Korech aleha gemi l'siman. So you take a red thread and you wrap it around. It has to be red, of course. Wrap it, doesn't really. It has to wrap a red thread. In order, this should be a ve'omer harezu bikurin. And you make a declaration. Harezu bikurin. When you tie it. When you designate it. This is a common feature of all matnot kihuna. Whenever you have trumot or ma'asrot, there are two stages that you always have to be aware of. There is the hafrasha and the netina. The hafrasha is simply setting it aside and saying, this is truma, that's ma'aser. Then there's a separate mitzvah, bring it to the kohen. Here too, first you designate, and then, the next opportunity that you have to come to the mikdash, what do? You bring it. But once you declare it, it already has kedushas bikurim on it, already has kedushas bikurim, for what consequence? What consequence is that once it has bikurim? No one is allowed to eat it, that's correct. Only a kohen is allowed to eat bikurim, like eating truma. Yes?
Is there a quality issue, let's say that little figula, or whatever you called it, doesn't really grow, and the next subsequent ones become juicy and ripe, and can you change the designation because of the quality of it?
No. What you can do is you can add. Because even though according to Torah law, one little fig discharges your entire fig inventory completely. The Rabbanan, we'll see, will give shiurim. So if you designated this one, and it's not exactly, it didn't turn out to what? To the one that you would hope to, and there are others, you can add onto it. But once you declare this one, there are no exchanges. I'm not sure what happens. In fact, it does say, I forgot where, that you're supposed to preserve it. You're supposed to make sure that it doesn't get rotten. You know, it doesn't get rotten on your traveling along and so on and so forth. That nothing happens to it. Not sure what. Yeah. Continues Rashi. Again, I want to try to finish Rashi. Then the Torah said, Ubatar el hakohen asheyiyeh beyamim hahen. Now, look at Rashi's comment. Tell me, obviously, what is reacting to, and what is somewhat difficult.
What other coin could you bring it to?
Of course.
The one that's in your day.
Right. Well, who else could you... Rashi says, you know why it says him a name? Because, Ein lecha ela kohen shehu
biyamecha. What does that mean?
There is only a kohen who's right there. You can't say, you know what... Oh, I'm waiting for the next 28 years. There will be, I know there's going to be a good Kohen, an intelligent Kohen. You know what? Whoever is there. Now, why is this comment difficult? Does anybody happen to know where this comment is made in another context where it has enormous halakhic sense? Where it makes a lot of sense. We studied it in Parshat Shoftim. Please open up to Dvarim Yud Zayin, the exact same phrase. There I understand it. I understand Chazal's remark. Perek Yud Zayin. It is Pasuk Tet. Pasuk Tet. And take a look at Rashi under the exact same phrase. It's talking about two people who are having a dispute. All different types of disputes. Bein dam ladam, bein din ladin, bein nega lanega, divrei revolt. So what do? They bring it to a kohen, asher yihyeh bayamim ha'em, el ha'shofet, asher yihyeh bayamim ha'em. Bring it to a judge. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi is the exact same comment. Asher yihyeh bayamim ha'em. There I understand it. Tell me why there I understand it. Here I don't understand. Tell me why. Because by judges, it makes a difference. Competence versus incompetence plays an enormous role by judges. You have a $100,000 suit against somebody, right? And if you have an incompetent judge, you will wind up $100,000 out of your pocket. A person cannot say, you know what? I'm going to wait until the next Ramban winds up on the best. That's when I'll adjudicate the case. No. Asher yihyeh bayumim hahem. Everybody probably heard of this phrase. Yiftach bidoro kishmuel bidoro. That Yiftach, who is not known as the greatest genius on the planet, halakhically has the exact same status as Shmuel, who is known as an incredibly competent judge. So when it comes to that type of an issue, I understand fully well and appreciate Rashi's comment. Because there is a temptation, there is an added advantage to waiting, selecting, until you will arrive at a judge who you think will be capable of handling this case. Not some nincompoop, some moron who can't understand the complexity of my case. But here, there's no advantage. It's giving a kayin. A lousy fig. What advantage is there to wait 28 years to find another kohen? Why would Rashi have to say, truth is, why would the Torah have to say, Asher yihyeh bayamim ahem? What? So give it to somebody else. There's no chiyuv to give it to a specific kohen. It's by truma. You give it to any kohen you choose. You choose.
Weren't you the one who told us that they gave kickbacks for Truma sometime, that some Kohanim said, send it over this way?
Of course they, that's called Tovak Hana'ah. That's worth money. You mean Makadish and Isha with that? That's worth money.
Discourage that. Whoever is there, you should give it to them. You should go shop.
But it's not true. You're allowed to. Bikurim follows Truma. It's your choice. Whoever Kayin is up with, you don't like this guy, say you go away to somebody else. You tease him. See my basket? I'm not giving it to you. Give it to somebody else. Why? Because you're a first-class jerk. That's why. Tell him that. Cool. So I don't know what the advantage is. What's Rashi trying to tell me? I don't know. I just don't understand what the Havamin is and what's the advantage not to select it. But yeah, that's what Rashi says. I'm just telling you what Rashi says. Yes.
You can only do this once when you get into the land?
No, every single year. This is an annual obligation. It's triggered once you come into the land. But then it's an annual obligation every single year. Every single year. Yeah.
Well, maybe he's afraid if you put it off, you'll miss that year. Where did they put it off? Waiting to find the right point.
No, but I have already separated it.
So that's the mitzvah, the separation?
Now I will bring it. So now the Rashi says, you just bring it to the Kohen, then you can't say, you know what, next year it'll be a Zayin I don't like.
You have to fulfill the mitzvah that year.
Okay, but I have. I've separated it. I just won't give it. Okay, but why would I think that it's not for this Kohen? That it's only Kohen should be a Mecha? What's wrong? Well, who else would you give it to? Who else would you give it to? It's very strange.
But where did they get it?
What?
In the 14th year, where did they get it?
Okay, we will now see. Okay, we will see. Excellent question. Excellent question. Where do you give it subsequent to, does it apply in any place where there is the Aron, or does it only apply in Shiloh? And we'll see in a Rashi, we'll see. Hold on a second. It's a very good question. Excellent question.
What's the answer? Why did you say Kohen should be a Mecha?
I don't have an answer. Our job is not to give answers. Our job is to do what? To know what's difficult. If you know what's difficult, that means you understand what the commentaries say. It's not our responsibility to answer all kashas. Like we always say, from a kasha, star finished. You don't die from a kasha. But if you don't ask the question, it means you don't really understand what the person's saying. Yeah.
The simple understanding that you shouldn't delay, but you know,
but we know that there is a fixed time when you can fulfill it. The optimum time is from Shavuos until Sukkot.
Okay.
Good. So after Sukkot, you can't say, hey, there's going to be a Kohen coming in after Sukkot. You can't do it. The mitzvah is over, to some extent. Certainly by Hanukkah, it's completely over. You blew it for that year. You blew it. So what am I waiting for? You can't wait.
It has nothing to do with nighttime.
Nothing to do with nighttime and daytime.
It may have to do with having enough food for the Kohen. I mean, maybe he depends on it. Food. Maybe.
But that's the same thing as true with Truma. Same thing is true with matzah, with Reishis Hagez, which we saw in, we had the first shearing of the wool. Nowhere does it say, it says Reishis Hagez Tzoncha, Reishis Hagez Titen Lo. It doesn't say Titen Lo by Yomi Mohen. You know, it doesn't say that every place. Yeah.
Maybe it's talking about the changed status of the Kohen post-condition or living in the West.
Yeah.
Meaning that the Kohen will have a different status than the Kohen now that we're not yet in Israel.
What status changed was there between a Kohen post and what?
Doesn't he become a man of service once there's a Makom HaShikun?
He's been a man of service since the Mishkan was open. And he's going to function as the Mishkan. I think it's difficult. That's all. I'm just pointing out, if you have something compelling, I'm inviting you to say it. But I haven't. I don't know.
Did all of that change once the Kohanim were in the land?
That was the Takan of Shmuel. Shmuel was the one who created the Chavtal of Mishmarot. Until Shmuel, nothing, no such thing as a Mishmar. Let's finish the Rashi at least, Rabotai. The Amarta Elav, and you're supposed to say, it says in Pasuk Gimel, the Amarta Elav, what are you supposed to tell the Kohen? Higadati hayom Hashem Elokecha. The Amarta Elav, what should you say? She'encha kafui tova. What should you say? I am not a kofri toiv. I'm not an ingrate. I'm not an ingrate. Very nice. Ladies, tell me what's bothering Rashi and why is he prompted to make this statement. I will guide you in a direction. Look at Pasuk Hey, where it says, Ve'anita v'yamarta. And look at the rest of that Pasuk. You don't have to read beyond it. But what's Rashi reacting to when he sees the word Ve'amarta in this particular Pasuk in Pasuk Gimel, as opposed to what is follows in Pasuk Hey? What's he reacting to?
Ve'anita, what are you going to answer?
No. Okay. That's a separate question. I'll focus on the word V'yamarta l'fnei Hashem
alokecha. V'yamarta is what you're answering once you've been told this.
Say it a little sharper. A little sharper. Say it a little sharper. When it says V'yanita v'yamarta, does it provide what you're supposed to be saying? Yeah, what are you supposed to say? You're supposed to read. Arami Oved Avi. Very nice. Well, it says in Pasuk Gimel, Ve'amarta, what are you supposed to say? Ve'amarta Elav. What are you supposed to say? Rashi asks, in effect, is there a formal declaration now included in this particular Pasuk? Is it really a formal declaration? That's what Rashi is now interpreting. It's not a formal declaration. What do you simply say? What does it really mean? What does this mean? She'ein chav kafui tova. What does that mean?
Thank you.
That I'm coming to say what? You tell the Kohen. The Kohen says, yes, can I help you, sir? Ma'am? Can I help you? Because there are... No, that's just, you don't have to say that. Well, this is not a formal declaration. What you should simply say is, there are many functions that a Kohen plays in the Mikdash. Right? You can come and say, the Kohen will ask you, ma'am, what would you like? So you say, I have a Korban Mincha to offer today. I have a Korban Ola to offer today. I got lots of things to bring today. Now the Kohen asks, so you'll tell him, I'm here to say thank you. That's what I'm here for. Now the Kohen will say, oh, you're here to say thank you, put. Please give me the basket. I will put the basket in the Mizbeah. And now what do? Say the formal text. Say the formal text. You, the reader, say, once it's taken. This, what Rashi is simply saying is, even though two psukim later, the word ve'anita ve'amarta means that I am going to specify the text for you, often when the Torah uses the word amira, it gives you the specific text. In Bamidbar chapter 7, Ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael amor lahem. There is no open-ended text what a Kohen is allowed to do the bless. It says, Yivarecha ka Hashem v'yishmarecha, Yo'er Hashem, and so on and so forth. Here also, Ve'anita ve'amarta in Pasuk Hei. You don't have a choice to make it up. There is a formal text provided. Well, it says also in Pasuk Gimel, Ve'amarta Elav. Well, does that mean a text? No. It says Rashi, just one thing. Just come in, tell him, I'm not an ingrate, I want to say thank you, and that's it. But it's not a formal declaration. What? You will tell the Kohen. I am coming to say thank you. That's all.
Why is even Father Rashi says you should say to him?
Because I could have
correct,
but that would mean that you have to use those precise words. He got it, see
how you know. So how do you know we don't? But you have to use precise words the second time. So
because that's what it means. Rashi is now telling us that the halakha does not require a precise language here. It's just a statement of intent.
I don't even
know what that means. No, Rashi, I know why Rashi is telling me that. Because otherwise Rashi would read it the way you would read it the way you just suggested.
That
you have to use the word, see, but if the halakha says you don't.
Well,
The halacha doesn't demand that in your first welcome interaction with the kohen that you precisely use this language. Higadati hayom l'Hashem Elokecha kibati al aretz. You don't have to say that. Rashi, exactly. Rashi knows what the halacha is. That he knows that mikra bikurim only really begins what? With the word arami ovedavi. So Rashi's trying to tell us, what does this introductory the amarta mean? It means just tell him, I'm here to say thank you, I'm not an ingrate.
Unless you would follow
him. Nothing wrong with it.
So why?
But because he's telling you that you don't have to use this exact word. Good. In fact, do you know that by Mikra Bikurim, please, they were so insisting on the words Yarita Marta that you use their arms, that if you didn't know how to do it, you couldn't fulfill the mitzvah. Somebody had to read it, and you had to mouth it after him. A guy would say, Arami, Oive, Arami, Oive, Avi. Very nice. You're supposed to do it that way. But the halacha is, here we didn't demand that you use this formal thing. So if you can express it in your own words, in French, in Spanish, your own beautiful formulation, that's perfectly okay.
Why are there all these extra words in the Chumash? Should we say there are extra words?
There are thousands of extra words.
Okay, well, why is that?
It's conveying an idea. What should you tell the Kohen when you arrive? That's what it is.
So this is
why. Okay. That's okay. That's no kasha. Yeah. Yeah.
So they would say the same thing. I'm coming to thank Hashem.
With what? With the carbon. But I'm not coming to say thank you for giving me the land. What's the thanks?
It's not a question of thank you for giving me
the land. That's exactly what it is. Kivasi al aretz. Kivasi al aretz. Hey, carbon told us because I was sick. So you'll tell the Kohen, I'm coming because I was sick and I'm thanking you for sick. I'm thanking Kohen Shmar. So he'll know on the sin, you bring your carbon tiger. Now you're telling him what you're arriving for, that's all.
All other carbonas?
What?
Do you specify as you're coming?
It's interesting. You're asking another question. Why is it that in somewhere in Sefer Vayikra, don't you have this formal dialogue? And the answer is, since there is no specified dialogue, there's no required... So therefore you don't have to, obviously you'll come to the kohen and say, what am I here for? But now, once I'm going to present the second Vanis of the Amarta, that you must record in front of the kohen, this particular text, so the Torah introduces it with this interaction stage.
That's the implication of Rashi. The implication is that it's simply not the formal text here.
Right.
That the formal text is not followed.
That is correct. Of course, 100%. There's no doubt about it. Does the question apply to female farmers as well? There's no doubt about it. 100%. Then finally, what does Rashi comment? One more Rashi. Higadati hayom l'Hashem Elokecha. So Rashi answers some. What's the question that Rashi asks?
What is
because it's not Hayom. In 50 years, Hagadati Hayom, Kibati, I'm coming today, and I came to the... Did I come today? What do you mean, Hagadati Hayom? Kibati Alaritz. So what does Rashi comment? Even though I can explain it very easily another way, explain it very easily, says Rashi, what does it mean, Hayom? Tam achat bashana... This obligation is limited only to what? Once a year. Therefore, he got to stay young. But I'm not coming back. I don't have an obligation to come back a second, a third, and a fifth time. We will continue next week. But see, there's a much more plausible thematic explanation as to why this is, as well as continue with some of the other Parshanim's comment on these opening psukim.
Are you from the air, but I don't
Yes. No, it is not.